This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com, your number one source for Android smartphone accessories. To save 10% on your entire order, enter code AC10 at checkout. Orders over $50 ship free, and international shipping is available. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 205 for Friday, October 3rd, 2014. Holy crap, it's October 3rd. When did October start? Well, 2 days ago, I guess. We know the answer to that, don't we? Welcome to the show. I'm Phil Nickinson. And for the record, I do not have the camera locked on anybody.
Yeah.
Although I have threatened to use it as a weapon if need be. What's going on? Jerry Hildenbrand, everybody.
Howdy, hey.
Look at that. The camera snaps to you just like I knew what I was doing. Richard Devine is back with us this evening.
Good evening.
Well, this afternoon. This evening for you.
It's evening where...
It is evening.
Where time it was invented or something.
And also from the future and England, Alex Dobie.
Hey, everyone.
Do you prefer living in the future or living in England? Or are those two things not mutually exclusive?
Bit of both. You know, it's one comes with the other.
The real question is, do the two of you now feel self-conscious about not having beards?
No.
No?
Okay. Well, Richard especially looks very clean-shaven today.
I do feel a little bit naked, but yeah.
Richard's like, he's getting all cleaned up. He cleaned up his room. It's like a man who's about to have a kid or something and have it just totally gone to pot, as you guys might say over there.
Mainly. I mainly had to shave because I had a wedding anniversary, so.
Oh, well.
That too.
We like to give Richard a hard time in our spare time because, well, Jerry and I do, because he has no idea what's coming with these kids. And
The first time you hold the child in your arms and realize that it depends on you, you're just going to lose it.
A good friend of mine came over last week to borrow a couple phones, and he just had a kid too, and we're talking. And I was like, so how's it going? He's like, it's so much harder than I thought. I'm like, yeah. It doesn't get easier, it just gets different kinds of hard.
Can't wait.
So, anyway, what's going on? Should we talk about Android today?
Maybe.
Where do you guys want to start? It's been a weird week, because once again, we're kind of in between. I'm out of review mode. Alex is, are you actually done with all your, no, you still have one or two more, right?
Well, I have the new Sony stuff to finish up, should be early next week. And then I will be done until I'm starting again, which will probably be a couple of weeks after. So.
Fine. So, yeah, let's start with next week, I guess. So we've got two events next week in New York City. I will be at both of them. We've got HTC on Wednesday. That is the double exposure event. I'm doing air quotes, only with one hand, so an air quote. Double exposure. We've seen this HTC One M8i, like EYE, leak out a couple times. Alex, what's the deal? I mean, another selfie phone?
Maybe. It's still kind of up in the air what this actually is. A few things have leaked out. The first thing that appeared a couple weeks ago was supposedly this is an M8 with a 13 megapixel rear camera plus duo camera, so similar to what you would get on the Butterfly, which is not necessarily better all the time than the M8, but just kind of different. So there'll be that. And then rumors, of course, of it being a selfie camera, so also supposedly a 30 megapixel front-facing camera, potentially. And rumors today of an HTC Desire Eye as well, maybe looking like a Desire 820, a little bit smaller, supposedly with specs that are almost up to the level of the M8, with this really high-resolution front-facing camera as well.
Why?
Because selfies, I don't know.
Didn't HTC not too awful long ago say they were going to stop doing this and they're going to just make one or two devices?
No, per year? I've heard this every year from them. Every year for like the past 3 or 4 years, it's going to be, all right, we're going to focus on fewer products and do a really good job with them. And that's not to say they haven't made a lot of good stuff, and that's not to say that the stuff that's secondary is bad, because it's not.
Right.
But, I mean, how many M8 variants do we have right now? We have the M8, you have the Windows M8, you have the GPE M8, you have the E8, now you're going to have the M8i, and that's aside from any mini versions or whatever else. So Yeah, I mean, it's still HTC One, but HTC One is still like, you know, a million different phones.
That's a lot of.
I see, you know, a good reason. Let's look across the pond, whatever you call the Pacific Ocean, to Samsung. They make a lot of different phones, and that strategy works for them. But they're also probably 20 times bigger, you know, but if you look at the scale, than HTC is. I don't get the strategy, and I've never seen any evidence that HTC making all these variants actually is working for them.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're asking. And we saw financials come out. They actually made some money this past quarter. So something's working, and it's not like they're making...
Well, they made money. They stay profitable, but on lower revenues.
Right. It's not like they're making, you know, 16 devices, and 16 devices are all being, you know, made available in the same place, because they're just not. So it's very region specific. You know, the butterfly line. Where can you get that outside of?
There's an Asia unlocked version. It's also a J butterfly in Japan, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's regionalized, and I get that. And I think that's something we need to remember as we're going into these. But at the same time, it's like, all right, hearing it again.
Do you think they'll market it as a selfie, as a selfie phone? If it has got a massive, is that the new buzzword? Is that the thing that kids want these days? Is that the new hot thing to have?
I think that's the difference between what we see from, if this in fact is what we're getting, is some sort of selfie phone. That's the difference between a company like HTC and somebody like Apple, and I think to a lesser extent Samsung. And instead of telling me what it is I'm going to want, kind of, you know, playing that, all right, everybody's into selfies, so let's make a selfie phone game. And it's not the first time either, because they've always paid a lot of attention to the cameras. And which one was it? Was it 2 years ago we started getting the wide angle? I think it was with the DNA. We started getting the wide angle front facing.
Yeah, the DNA and the M8.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm trying to be excited about it, and there's still the prospect of this weird GoPro type secondary camera. So we'll see.
We still don't really know a whole lot about that, do we? Because this is a completely new market area that HTC would be getting into.
Recamera is the other sort of name.
That'd be kind of cool, one of those that runs Android with all the sharing ability.
And you've got to hope and you've got to imagine that they're talking to the Zoe team as well to get.
Oh, I would completely expect that to happen. So there's that on Wednesday, and then Thursday we have Sony in New York. I imagine it's going to be the Z3 that we know is coming on T-Mo. Has anyone else announced? I forgot to check. Somebody mentioned Sprint.
There was a report this week. I think Sprint was getting the big one they mentioned. I think anyone has mentioned any carriers are rumored to get the small one yet, though. I think Sony said they would be selling it unlocked, and that's not surprising because the European Z3 I have here has all the right bands that line up properly, so it would be the same product they would just sell unlocked.
I think it was SoftBank saying.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
Which everybody made that leap from SoftBank to Sprint, so okay. Jerry, you got to mute a little bit, dude. I'm getting so much bleed through. So yeah, I mean, there's that. I'll be there. Mark Wim will be there. I'm excited to see the Sony stuff because we just haven't really gotten any here. And so, oh, fine. Alex is showing it off there.
There it is.
See, now I click on you and you won't show it.
There it is.
Give me the short version of it, Alex.
So, I mean, I was kind of down on this phone to begin with. Let's talk about the big Z3 first. Having used the Z2, it really didn't seem like there was a whole lot that was different. It seemed like this weird six-monthly upgrade that they were doing. But the stuff that is really good about this phone is things that aren't on a spec sheet or, you know, that you don't necessarily get an appreciation for just using it for half an hour at a trade show. The screen is noticeably better than the Z2. You know, much brighter, much better colors, better in daylight. The chassis looks very similar. You hold it next to the Z2, but it's slimmer, it's lighter. The corners are sort of curved and more rounded now, so it does look similar, but it feels very, very different in the hand. The only thing you can really find to complain about is the fact that they haven't really changed the camera around much, and even that is just, you know, something that hasn't changed in the last version. So, and of course, the other big thing about this is it has a 3100 milliamp hour battery, and they're advertising it with, you know, as having supposedly a 2-day battery life. And having used it for a week, that, you know, that's what it does. It isn't an exaggeration. You will get 2 days out of this easily. So overall, a very nicely balanced device. And I think if you look at the past year with maybe Android devices that kind of have Achilles heels in certain places, this is one that isn't really weak at anything. It's just kind of great at everything across the board. And, you know, maybe the camera hasn't changed much from last generation, but it's just overall a really, really nice phone.
How big is that display?
5.2. Show it again. They've slimmed down the bezels either side of the screen. Still kind of chunky top and bottom, but you can get away with that more than you can width. So it's a big phone, but it strikes me as being sort of a sleeker phone than the Z2 and the Z1. I mean, the standing joke with those was that Sony's designers, you know, the design process was just drawing a rectangle and then calling it a day. This is much more sort of considered, I think, the point where, you know, it's actually a better fit for the human hand, and it's a very nice phone. I like it. I've changed my mind on the Z3.
The curved edges do make a difference, though. I noticed that immediately at IFA, the fact that it doesn't feel anymore just like a giant slab of glass. You know, you can pick it up and your hand will actually go around it rather than just, you know.
And it still is kind of a slab, right? It's a big phone. And you look at the Z3 Compact, they've had to keep this a little chunkier because of the battery size. They kept it basically the same size as the Z1 Compact, but with a bigger screen, a bigger battery. And it feels a little chunkier, maybe not quite as premium as the full-size Z3, but it's another phone they've done a good job with this.
I'm excited to try it out. I'm excited to play with it. I'm excited to see Sony here in the States again. It's a big deal.
Do you think it's still a big deal if it's only Sprint and T-Mobile?
It's better than nothing at this point, I'll take it. And I think T-Mobile's a bigger deal than it used to be. But yes, I think any inroads Sony is able to make in the U.S. and something. Wow. Who brought the cat?
Someone likes the Z3.
you know, and I think some of it's probably just selfishness on my part. I'm ready to try something new that's not Samsung and HTC and Motorola and just to have something different to play with.
Because what was the last Sony phone you used, Phil? It would have been something pretty old, probably.
Was it that thing that you got handed at MWC?
Yeah, really.
A couple years ago, maybe?
It was, and it's still here somewhere. And I used it in Barcelona that year. But yeah, we haven't had like a real good Sony release here.
And we were at a little Sony get-together in London last week, and some of the Sony people that were there, they were sort of hinting that they're treating this US event as quite a big deal. So, you know, we'll soon know what it's all about. But they were quite excited about having this event in New York for.
And they should be. It's a big untapped market for them. It's something they, you know, they're pretty big in Europe now. They're obviously big in Asia, big in Japan, but. You know, they really, I don't think they've ever really had a huge success in the U.S. in terms of smartphones.
Just show me that tablet mini, Sony. I want to slap that thing on my controller and play PlayStation so bad.
It's so good, Jerry. And if it's good at a trade show, I can't imagine how good it will be in the home with proper Wi-Fi and not kids everywhere screaming about it.
So that's next week. You know, I'm trying to think the rest of the month. We're still expecting Nexus stuff at some point. I mean, not a whole lot more to say. Android Police got a couple pictures of what should be the Nexus 6 on a bus, I think it was. Somebody holding it, a woman holding it. Couple things about that now that I think about it. One, it was a woman holding it. I don't know why that stands out, but I think just because everyone assumed it was a guy. But I do have to wonder if that makes a difference in what we perceive to be the size. Maybe?
Could be. Well, it depends on the size of the, you know, like you say, it could be the same if I was holding it. I only have small hands.
And I was going to say, same goes if it was me, yeah.
If somebody only has small hands, it will automatically make the phone look bigger. But, I mean, it looked quite big.
I was kind of losing my stuff earlier this week because everybody is losing their stuff over this thing, just like last year. You know, it's and from everything we've been told, we've had Russell talk about it as well, and it looks like it's going to be a larger version of the Moto X in many respects. So, I mean, we have a pretty good idea what it's going to look like and probably feel like. Obviously, it won't have Moto Maker and all that stuff, so you won't have a leather back. I would expect, I don't know, some sort of soft touchy thing like Google has been prone to do. But I just have a hard time getting excited over, you know, something that we already know pretty much what it's going to look and feel like. I'm not saying we know everything, because we don't. I don't know. And I still have that big question that we had last week, which is what is a larger Moto X going to bring to the table that the Moto X itself doesn't bring?
And here's the thing. You look at every Nexus for the past few years, probably since the Nexus program, you know, is since it began. The hardware has never really been the interesting thing. It's all been about what the software brings to the table. And we know a lot about what L's going to do, but potentially there are still some surprises, and that maybe is going to be what is a differentiator here. Because if it is just a big Moto X, then it's a big Moto X, but what is there beyond that, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Jerry, you just sitting there?
I'm just sitting here deciding what I want to say and don't want to say.
I mean, we've reached not quite parity with software with what Motorola's done, and to a lesser extent, HTC. But yeah, it's less of a thing than it used to be. It's still not perfect, right? And I don't think it's gonna be.
Yeah, perfect is the wrong word to use. I think it is.
It's still not one to one. It's still not an Apple code push where, hey, here's this update. Everybody go get it. It just doesn't work that way. It is not going to work that way. I wrote a little bit in my column Sunday about why. Because of the way Android works, we don't necessarily want, you know, one giant code push.
Correct. Well, a lot of people with an iPhone don't want it anymore either. There are drawbacks to doing that.
Yep. Yeah, a lot less room for error, and so I don't know. I'm curious to see what we get. I'm excited for it. That's not to say, like, I don't want to get it and use it. I'm really excited for L. I really can't wait to see just all the big software changes, what it means for non-Nexus devices.
And we saw a bit of that this week, didn't we? Segway.
A little bit.
So we saw a leaked build of Android L on the Galaxy S5, a video that Sun Mobile brought out. And actually, given how little sort of OEM skins often tend to change between versions of Android, kind of interesting to see that a lot of what we saw in the GS5 here was very, very clearly material influenced, right? I mean, it still looked like a GS5, but a lot of the Samsung apps have been redesigned. You had sort of hovering circular buttons and stuff. You know, the animations work there, but you don't necessarily expect that in an early build. You know, this didn't just look like they'd taken the underlying code and just slapped TouchWiz on top of it. They were at least trying to sort of merge their visual style with material design.
Samsung's not supposed to have the code yet.
Well, I mean, people need to have the code for
I know,
certain devices that they have that need to be updated quickly. But yeah, you're not wrong.
I think we've reached the point, and we, you know, it started what, a year or so ago, where everybody kind of has to, you know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, know what I mean at that stuff.
Yeah. I was just making a joke. Samsung should have had the code the first day a build was available that would run.
And I'm sure they're not the only ones, right?
Right, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lose any sleep either way. What do I care? The sooner everybody gets their updates out, the better. So.
Yep.
Maybe a good sign that the builds are starting to do the rounds in places where they can get leaked. Maybe things are a little bit further on than they have been in previous years.
Hopefully.
I just hope, and Samsung's one of those companies that they've had issues. Somebody was asking, I think in some Google Plus comments, you know, well, when was the last time an Android build got, but an Android update got pulled? And I was like, about a month ago, actually. I'm not sure that one started back up yet. HTC had to pull one. But Samsung's had to pull one a lot, specifically on some Sprint phones, but it wouldn't surprise me to remember that it's on other ones, but it happens. So I want to see good updates pushed. I want to see updates that don't break things and don't have to get pulled, and certainly the companies do as well. All right. How about let's take a quick little break, and when we come back, we will do some Q&A. Hey, it's Phil and Jerry here with you for a minute to talk about Harrys.com. And it's kind of fitting, or not, seeing as how we're the two guys on the podcast with facial hair.
For many of you, well, not me, I know, but you, shaving's a pain. It's uncomfortable. It causes nicks and cuts and scrapes and razor burns. And it can get pretty expensive once you add up all the cost of cream and aftershave and all those metal sharp things.
So that's where Harrys.com comes in. Now, two guys wanted to make a better product without paying an arm and a leg for it. And it turns out they liked the blades so much, they bought the factory in Germany, and now they're bringing things to your mailbox. And for about half the price of other big brand blades, you'll get your razor moisturizing shave cream, and Jerry, I know you love that,
love
and
it.
Three blades shipped to you for free straight to your doorstep. And it doesn't get much simpler than that, folks. And whether you shave a little or a lot, Harrys has a plan that will best suit your face.
So experience a clean, close, comfortable shave with Harrys. Go to Harrys.com now and get $5 off your order when you use coupon code AC for your first purchase.
That's Harrys.com and use coupon code AC at checkout. Start shaving better today. All right, we're back. You want to do some Q&A? Let us see what the people have to say. Should we start at the top? Let's start at the top. That's easy. Robert asks, do you think the Nexus 5 will get a spec bump if the Nexus 6 is the only new phone from Google?
No.
Why?
Because you give it a spec bump, any money they're making by using an existing product, they're not going to make anymore because they're going to have all new ones built. We'll probably see the Nexus 5 up for sale until it's no longer possible for LG to build the phone at the same price or lower.
J.R. Raphael, who we've had on the podcast a few times, and I think asked something sort of similar on Google, not just on Google Plus, but did a post this week asking that, you know, would it behoove Google to keep selling old Nexus devices much longer?
I think you've got to differentiate between old phones and old tablets. I mean, probably more so than the Nexus 5. The Nexus 7 is still a really good buy. It's still a really nice little tablet. And if you look at the next Nexus tablet potentially being a little bit bigger and maybe a little bit more expensive as well, it still makes sense for consumers and for Google to keep the old one around, maybe at a slightly lower price point.
I tell you, I've had a Shield tablet, you know, the one with, it is Tegra K1, right?
Yeah.
I want to make sure I get that right before I say it. But I finally tried that out for the past week or so because I've had one here and just never used it, partially because some of the games I'd been playing weren't properly using Cloud Sync, but then Skyforce does, so I'm good. gameplay is super fast on it. The resolution is weird, and a lot of the stuff, especially in Skyforce, renders funny. Like, colors aren't rendering the way they should. And there's stuff outside of that gameplay, like normal things like going through menus and opening Facebook and even Google Plus and stuff, just is painfully slow. I don't know what's going on, but obviously things are kind of broken. Jerry, do you have one there?
Yeah, and we talked about this. Andrew and I don't see that.
Really? All right, maybe it's just
we both have one. You know what? No, that doesn't sound too far-fetched. The K1 is pretty much standard when it comes to OpenGL now. NVIDIA's doing a really good job of supporting just off-the-shelf OpenGL. But there are small differences in there in the way the rendering engines and stuff work. If you tell me you see weirdness with games, especially, I see weirdness with some games, too. But when it gets to the UI, I've never seen any issues there. It's not as fast as you think it would be, but I don't see any odd slowdowns in certain places or at certain times. So you just broke it.
I might have. Fine.
But the good news is the rumored tablet specs, Nexus tablet specs, should get Android completely and properly back in line with the K1 architecture again. So, if so, Android L for the Shield will fix any of those weirdness things that may be going on.
Ezekiel asks, there have been numerous reports of improved battery life on the Moto 360 since a firmware update a couple weeks ago. Have your impressions of battery life changed since that update? Absolutely. And if you haven't read it, we updated our best Android Wear smartwatches thing this week. I didn't make a huge deal out of it. We didn't do a separate post or anything, but absolutely battery life is better.
I charge mine in the morning when I get out of bed and take my shower. I put it on the dock because I like to wear a watch while I'm asleep so I can see what time it is without having a big clock in the room. Usually, before the update, I was at 15, 12% battery life left when I'd get out of bed in the morning. Now I'm at 45, 50. That's a big difference, and I've done nothing differently.
I don't think I've had to look since the update. I put it on the charger when I'm ready to go to bed for the night, and that's it. It'll be interesting to see next week when I'm on the road. That'll be a big test.
I don't want to say it would last 2 days, because the minute that.
Yeah.
But it lasts a whole lot longer than 1 day.
Yeah. I would say 2, just on principle.
If you passed on the 360 because of battery life, is now the time to reconsider?
Yes.
I just like to reconsider that.
Yeah, Alex was telling us this morning to give me a reason not to buy this thing, and it's I still like the hell out of it. I do.
So do I.
Like mine to not spend money.
Yeah.
I think a reason not to buy it is something better will be coming between now and Christmas. But
is that really the case, though?
I have a feeling that for my taste, that the Asus ZenWatch is going to be the one this year.
I still really want to see that one, yeah.
Not to say there's anything wrong with the 360. On paper, the G Watch looks like the best of all of them. That's just the way it is on paper. But it's on my wrist. I want it to look a little nicer, so I use the 360. That's what I wear every day. But along those same lines, I think the ZenWatch is going to be, even nicer for my uses.
And we've talked about the compromises you have to make, and I make the compromise of a slightly stuttery UI, to have something that actually looks better on my wrist. So that's one I'm willing to sacrifice a little bit.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't have to.
Still seeing the stutters? Some people are saying it fixes the stutters as well. I'm
still seeing the stutters.
Hmm.
So, Pablo asks, do you think if Google does release a 5.9-inch Nexus phone that it will hurt the Nexus 9 tablet sales, or could we see more people sticking with the Nexus 5? So the idea is if you have this larger phone, the 6-inch phone, will it hurt sales of a larger tablet? I don't know. I mean, because the difference is about the same, right? So you're going from a 5-inch phone with a 7-inch tablet to a 6-inch phone and a 9-inch tablet, maybe?
I just, did it hurt sales for Samsung when they released the Note?
Nah.
So I don't think. And come on, half of us here, it says Nexus on it. We're going to buy it. You could take a 1972 Pinto and put Nexus on the back and we'd buy it. So after you discount all those people, I don't know how many other people would say, well, I really need a new tablet. But look, this phone is almost big enough, so I'm going to buy it instead. I think
it'd be really interesting to see what happens and if they can reposition the Nexus 7 down a little, so that becomes a really, really good budget tablet, because it is still a great device today. Yep. And maybe if you don't want to pay what would presumably be a higher price for the Tegra K1 64-bit all-singing, all-dancing Nexus 9, maybe you can get last year's tablet that's still really good, and absolutely nothing wrong with it. We'll be running L at some point at a lower price.
To me, that's really the only unknown. We've got rumors, and we've got our own sources and people we talk to. I think I've pretty much figured out what we're going to see in the middle of this month and when we're going to see it. But the unknown is, what are they going to do with the Nexus 5 and the Nexus 7? And like Alex, I hope we still see them.
Well, are you going to tell us what you expect?
We're going to see a HTC-built 8.9-inch tablet. Originally was going to be called the Nexus 8. Now I'm hearing maybe the Nexus 9. 5.9-inch device made by Motorola. Soft touch back, says Nexus on the back. I've seen them, guys. Their rumors are 99% true. At least the models that I've seen. Of course, maybe I've seen a fake, or I've seen what's not going to be the final version, or I've seen something that's a completely different project that the person holding it thinks it's something that it's not. But there's no surprises left after all the rumors we've heard. They're pretty much nailing, you know, and if you look at the pictures that Android Police got before, and I didn't want to say anything, we said, well, maybe because it's a lady, it looks bigger. No, this phone is huge. I have the person that I have seen holding it. I know the guy. I've seen his hands. His hands are of normal size, and this phone is huge. It I don't know how, but it looks bigger than the Note when you're holding it.
Is it as big as this thing? This giant Chinese phone that I have?
I don't think it's that big. it's not as big as the Z Ultra or anything insane like that, but it's big. It's shockingly big. And unless there are some tricks in the software that we haven't seen yet, like maybe multi-window or something that needs or uses that real estate, it's pretty much just a slightly beefed up Nexus 5 for people that wanted a bigger phone.
But see, something weird like that, why would that be in a Nexus phone? And again, I ask, what is a Nexus anymore?
I mean, if they were going to do multi-window or something like that, you would need to get developers on board with it. You would need for it to be in the developer preview, right?
You would think so. I mean, nobody's expecting anything like that, but the person I was speaking with were trying to find reasons other than Google saw Apple can do it, Google sees Samsung making money, now Google says, hey, we can make a big phone too. That's the only reason that we can come up with. Maybe there's another reason and we don't know.
It just makes me that much more curious for the software and that much more excited for the software. I think partially just because we see so many phones coming in and out of here. And it'll be interesting to see what Nexus means in this next generation.
My kicker is that this new Nexus phone, size aside, that's a personal thing. I don't like big phones. People listening, a lot of them do. It's just another 32-bit processor. That's what kills me, because the version of Android L that comes out is going to be fine. But next summer, when Google's doing an event somewhere and somebody's on stage and they show you this amazing new thing that the next version of Android's going to be able to do, there's going to be a footnote, requires a 64-bit processor. And this phone isn't going to be able to do it, and I know how mad it makes me to think that the 4S couldn't get Siri, or the 4 couldn't get Siri, when it worked perfectly fine, but the company itself thought that maybe we better not put it back there for performance reasons. When Google starts doing that to people that just bought a brand new Nexus, that's not going to go over very well. That has me worried.
It's probably a question of timing. I think we've been over this before. The new Qualcomm chips aren't ready yet. You have mid-range 64-bit chips that maybe Google wouldn't want to put in a phone that's running a 2K display. And, of course, you're never going to get Tegra K1 in a phone because power issues.
And Samsung has a 64-bit processor ready, but they can't make enough of them in time. There's no way. And do we really want an Exynos in a Nexus?
Yeah, and there are even rumors going on about that Samsung had supposedly disabled the 64-bit part of that somehow. I don't even know if that would be possible. That was the rumor. So we'll see. It's a bit of a mess.
But anyway, look for – I don't think there's going to be an event. From what I understand, there's not. But look for a big unveiling thing on Google Plus somewhere around the 15th, letting us know what's in store. And then it goes from there. I don't think we're going to see phones or new software on the 15th, but that's when people were supposed to be expecting all this stuff. Now the cat's out of the bag, and my friend probably hates me, and he's going to drive to my house and beat me up.
Billia asks, do you think Android L will be the last officially supported version for the Nexus 4? The Galaxy Nexus got 3 updates. L would be the third for the N4.
Yeah. I think Android L is going to be a pivotal point in Android. The Nexus 5 and this Nexus 6 that's coming out will probably get a version of the next version optimized for older hardware. But Android is going to take a turn, and it's going to maybe not be a turn we like. They're going 64-bit. Eventually, they're going to reach a point where the hardware is going to be required to be 64-bit to use it. I don't see that happening this year, or probably not next year, but that's got to happen.
Okay, so two questions about that. One is that just another reason that we should not equate 64-bit with sheer power and think of it more like throughput? And two, what does that mean for low-cost, low-power devices like Android One?
Well, we'll start with the Android One. 64-bit isn't any more expensive. They already have you can buy... Alex, what's that HTC phone that's 64-bit?
It's the Desire 510.
All right, so that doesn't equate to high-end. MediaTek and others have been making 64-bit ARM chips here for a few months. I don't know how available they are, but they're inexpensive and they're out there. As far as performance, it's the move to 64-bit isn't as big a deal in mobile yet as it was on the desktop because we're just not doing the same things in mobile. We don't need that kind of pipeline across the system on chip. But it will be. Especially, I like to think of TouchWiz. Everybody says, oh my God, TouchWiz lags my phone. It's utter crap. It's horrible. All right, but if you take the bandwidth, the bus bandwidth, let's say everybody uses the garden hose example. Right now you've got 16 garden hoses. Only so much water can flow through at a time. You think of that water as data that TouchWiz is sending back and forth from the processor. You double that to... 32 hoses, more data can flow. When you get to 64-bit, you can double the registers. Your 16 garden hoses have turned into 128 garden hoses, and the hoses themselves are bigger. TouchWiz will be able to communicate with the system faster, almost in real time, and send more data at once. When that happens, it won't lag anymore. Of course, they'll have so many more features in it that it'll probably still lag, but what you have today will run a whole lot better eventually once it gets properly coded to take advantage of this stuff.
And if it does lag, it's Jerry's fault.
If it does lag, it's
if TouchWiz lags on your 64-bit phone, Jerry@AndroidCentral.com.
that's just an example. But right now, the biggest thing with 64-bit is the processors that are using it is the new ARM spec. It's not the processor throughput, it's the new ARM spec, is more power efficient. It actually works faster during the same CPU time. That's because of the new specs and the new ways the chips are built, not because of any 64-bit improvements. So it's good all around. When it comes, it's a good thing. I'm just worried that you're going to buy a phone in April of 2015, and then when July comes around, there's going to be software features announced that your phone can never use. That bothers me.
Well, let's wait till it happens.
Yes, and I'm not saying it will happen. It could happen.
Happens all the time now, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it we see it happen, especially with Apple. They release great new features that the last generation phone can't have. I don't want to see that happen with Google. I just don't. I understand Samsung can bring new features to the S5 that the S4 didn't have because the hardware is so much better. But I just don't want to see that happen with the Nexus phones. I don't want to see a one-year-old phone left without getting all the features. And I'm done.
Travis asks, do you guys realistically think the Galaxy S5 will get L soon after release, as some sources have reported?
I think it depends on your definition of soon. But like I was saying, it's a good sign that there are builds out there that are far enough along that they can get leaked, probably a couple of weeks out from the release of L. I wouldn't be too surprised if it was before the end of the year for maybe some unlocked models. US carriers, probably not, but I think maybe they'll manage to get it out for some phones, maybe the S5 by the end of the year.
So you say that, but, I mean, again, go back to Motorola. It's possible.
Yeah, but I mean, we're not talking about Motorola, are we? We're talking about Samsung. I mean, the fact is, Samsung just has more stuff to bring on top of the basic experience. Motorola keeps it very, very clean, very close to stock.
That's true.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if something on Motorola that they've done breaks, that means I can't see my text messages on my phone when I wave my hand. But TouchWiz is a little bit deeper in there. If something breaks, your whole phone could be rendered useless.
V. Ellis Wade asks, do you think the upcoming Nexus 9 tablet, coupled with the rumored Nexus 6, represents a consolidation of the Nexus tablet offerings, or could another 7-incher be in the works down the road? I would throw out there, does it consolidate the 7 and 10-inch, you know, the big little? Yeah. Do we just get one?
You know, I don't know where you would really take the Nexus line from here, because they're kind of meeting in the middle, aren't they, almost?
If you're a Google Voice user and use Hangouts, the Nexus 9 is your phone and tablet in a 9-inch form factor. You'd need a headset, of course, but, I mean, I don't know if this is the first step and one day we're going to see a 7-inch phone that does it all. That'd be kind of neat.
I mean, while we're sort of talking about what's next in terms of stock Android, there was some talk of this week. Do we think the GPE program has basically just died on the vine now? Because I mean, it's been a while since we had any new stuff from there.
Man, I hope not.
I didn't hear a lot, but what I heard was that there just weren't that many of those things sold, and it's not like they were marketed or advertised, even like a Nexus phone. It would not surprise me to never see another one.
And it's not as if they were particularly, like, available everywhere either, like the Nexus line is. I mean, we didn't see them officially, so.
I hate to see them go away because look at how well they worked. HTC is a perfect example. They went from being really poor at updating to new versions to now they're not only good at it, the updates are good, and the process is transparent. That's a success story that I think the Google Play edition was a big part of.
That was a good
question. I guess the question is, what replaces it? And we still have to wait and see.
Say Android Silver. Do it.
Stop it. Should Google keep the Nexus 5 until 64-bit processors are available for the next hardware jump?
I think so.
Good question.
I want to be able to buy a Nexus 5S, for lack of a better word, next summer with a Snapdragon 810 in it that's 64-bit. I think that'd be a very smart idea.
I'm trying to find... somebody's got a question about the size of what a 6-inch Moto X would be next to the Nexus 5. And I'm trying to find my Nexus 5.
I'll give you a rough example of...
Yeah, we both got
here. Here is a 6-inch phone, and here is an iPhone 6 that is as near as damn it 5 inches, when you were taking the bezels into account. So big.
That is
big. That Huawei is 6 exactly, or is it 6?
6 inches.
6 exactly. So another comparison: 5.2 on the Z3. It's only Z3 and 6.0 on the Mate 7.
That's big.
The new Nexus didn't feel as big as to my eyes. I didn't get to touch it. Didn't feel as big as that Huawei is, but maybe it is, and I don't know. That Huawei just looks bigger.
Huawei's done a really good job with it, though, as well. I mean, it's 6 inches, but it's...
No bezel on there.
I laid it down next to an iPhone 6 Plus last week, and it's pretty much exactly the same size, and you've got an extra half an inch of screen. So, I mean, they've done a really good job with it, but it is a big phone.
I don't want to like scare everybody away by talking, by worrying too much about the size until we actually see it and feel it and use it. Because it's easy to do. It's real easy to just say, that's too big. Because we've said that how many times?
Right. Before. Well, and that's a good point. I should shut up because you did that to me with the Moto X. I mean, that everybody, not just you. I said you, but I didn't mean not just you.
No, no, no. Yeah.
Everybody, JR, Russell, everybody that got to have one, it's so much bigger. And that really had me stressed out. Then when I get it in my hand, I'm like, well, those guys are full of beep. This is fine.
Well, I mean, and we've done it every phone since the original Evo. Oh, it's too big. Nobody's going to buy it. Why do you want a phone that big?
I don't think I said nobody should buy it. And if I said it's too big, what that meant is it's too big for me. It looks weird, but you might love the damn thing.
I'm still using the Moto X. I'll probably use it until whatever rolls around next, and then I'll use what's next for a while. The feel is still really good. The size is not bad. I like the size. It's a big size. I still preferred the smaller one for what it was.
Right.
When I say too big now, I think that means in my limited compared to what I was using before Scope. Absolutely still a good phone. I tell you, I mean, even when I was using the OnePlus for a week or so, it's big. It's really big. It's bigger than I like. But that's not to say it's, like, ginormous and not a good phone because of it. So. Stosh asks, if a question is not answered during the podcast, will the unanswered questions be answered by the panel and available to all? That is a really good question.
This is where Phil makes more work for us.
Can you see my brain turning? Actually, it's a good time to pimp the new Q&A feature in our forums, and I need to figure out a way to integrate that in the podcast, maybe. Head into the forums and use the Q&A stuff, and we should start playing with that and see. I wish we could, like, get to everything and answer everything. It's just tough because there's so many good questions.
One week we will just have to have nothing but a Q&A podcast. The next time it slows down.
We're getting real close today. In fact, let's take one more break, and when we come back, we will answer some more questions, I promise. We've talked on this podcast before about how managing your company's IT support can be challenging thanks to the advent of BYOD. We've talked about all the mobile devices and all the laptops and all the remote workers that you have to support. And that's why today we're once again talking about Citrix GoToAssist, the number one global market leader in remote support. GoToAssist is an easy-to-use cloud-based remote support solution that allows you and your IT team to solve problems faster. With GoToAssist, you can provide live remote support to any computer or mobile device. You can screen share to diagnose and fix support problems faster and more effectively. And there doesn't even have to be anyone there on the other end. GoToAssist has unattended remote support as well. If you work in IT, you need to try GoToAssist. And if you sign up before October 10th, you can get a second Citrix tool free to use for 6 months. Get that? Sign up for GoToAssist by October 10th, and you get a second Citrix tool free for 6 months. The clock is ticking. Visit GoToAssist.com today to get this special offer. Okay, we are back for one last round of lots of questions. I don't know, is there anything else in the script you guys wanted to go through? We talked about the Shield tab a little bit. It's got LTE now, by the way. You know what I wanted to ask about real quick? Is Photoshop coming to Chrome OS at some point in
Yay.
Some sort of limited release, it looked like? That's just
education, I think, initially.
Sounds like a horrible idea.
What? What sounds horrible?
No, it sounds like a good idea, Phil.
Given the hardware that's running so many Chromebooks out there, I mean...
No. It doesn't run on the Chromebook. It's like what is that service that Windows has where you can run applications in the cloud? They actually run on a remote server somewhere, and you just look at the screen.
Okay.
That's the way Photoshop's going to work. Which means, unless you've got a decent connection, it's going to be a little laggy. But it's not like a remote desktop where you're doing everything on the other machine and you're just mirroring the screen. It's drawing. It's sending a minuscule amount of data and drawing it on your screen, but the heavy lifting is being done on a server somewhere.
So what's missing? Just proper video editing?
Yep.
You got to think that's got to be tough, though.
That's got to
be real tough.
They're going to build something into YouTube soon. They've got to.
Well, I mean, there's already something there in YouTube. It just takes 6 hours.
But let me rephrase that.
There's something good.
Something that isn't terrible.
I tried it once and it worked. But you just don't have the same sort of control as you do, like, when you're doing proper video editing. It worked, and it worked okay. But
I think maybe long-term, the solution to this sort of content creation problem is maybe going to come from maybe further down the line, the Android app runtime thing that is going to come to Chrome OS at some point. I mean, we're still very, very early days for that, but it's easy to see a situation where that grows into something that could really plug the gap for native apps running on Chrome.
Well, yeah, and, I'll use iMovie. iMovie is a great piece of software that's not really that resource intensive, and you could run on Chromebook hardware.
It's running on iPhone hardware. Yeah.
Pretty much.
So there's no reason we shouldn't expect to see something like that. Just finding the right company that can build it so it works well without being insanely complicated.
The thing with video, though, it's got, like, unless it was is built into YouTube, you've got to have some, you know, for that kind of stuff, you really need something on the machine. I mean,
yep.
I've just started using a Chromebook in the last couple of weeks, and I've written a couple of things about it, and you know, there's some really nice Chrome apps out there, but I did miss, I mean, hardware aside, and the fact that the display on the Chromebook I've got is really not that good. I miss things like Photoshop, because remote desktop isn't the same, and there are some nice little photo editing apps, but you can't match sometimes just the sheer power of Photoshop. And I mean, I was quite excited to see this. I mean, it's going to be ages before we get it over here, no doubt, but it's looking, you know, it's a good step for sure. You know, in the direction that a lot of us who have to do content creation on the fly have been looking for.
I just saw a technical question I can answer. Where'd it go? I didn't click it off, did I? Oh, where did it go? I lost it. Maybe deleted it. Somebody asked if Art was going to be the default runtime on L. Oh, there it is. I found it. I can answer this. I can say, yes, it will be, but not the Art that you're currently using. Now I have to sneeze.
What's different, Phil?
On that. lots of things are different. It's not and or. It will also run
there. Yep.
It will also work with apps that are compiled for Dalvik as it stands today. A whole bunch of other things. Jerry way back when shared this excellent video from Google I/O this year. That was a lot of it was way over my head still, but there was a lot of it that really made the Art runtime make sense and the garbage collection and everything that goes into it now. I'd have to do another post on that, Jerry, if we never did on that. Just because it really helped me understand what was going on with it, even though a lot of it's still just way.
The biggest thing is right now you've got apps that crash when you try to use Art. The final version of Art is supposed to gracefully deal with that, and it'll run. The apps will run just like they always did before. So that's one of the hugest differences, I think.
So Yankees368 writes, am I foolish to wait for someone to release another nice 4.7-inch phone like the original Moto X? And we've actually kind of seen a couple of these the past couple of weeks. I have one right here, the Xperia Z3 Compact. Don't know if that will ever be coming to US carriers, but it is basically the same hardware, same high-end stuff that you would get in the full-size Z3, just with a 4.6-inch 720p screen instead. And very, very slim bezels like you would get on the full-size Z3. The other one is the Samsung Galaxy Alpha, which is actually out on AT&T now and a bunch of carriers in Europe. I think we reviewed it about a week or so ago. Nice phone. Probably the biggest issue for me is battery life. Not so great there.
Yeah, the battery's pretty terrible, I think. I only had it for a few days, and yeah, it's not good. But it's a nice. But it is a nice phone. It's nicely done, and you know, I very much prefer the form factor of that to the even to the Galaxy S5, which isn't a massive amount bigger, but
it looked beautiful. People can say, oh, it copied the iPhone. I don't care. Ford copies Chrysler too, but it looked really pretty. That's a phone I want to touch with my own hands.
It kind of makes me excited for whatever we're going to see next year, maybe. Hey, don't let me forget, I got a lot of good emails to go through, because, see, I knew that was going to happen. I read one or two emails, and suddenly it's like, oh, we're going to start emailing you again, which is fine. That's good. That's good. I'm kidding.
If not everybody can make it live, so email us. Sometimes we read them.
Kevin asks, and I read this for a different reason than you might think, of the current flagship releases, which device would you say has the best battery life from your experience? And this is the point I want to make in which there's battery life, and then there's battery capacity. And that I don't think I've ever seen a chart normalize for that. So you have, I mean, you just see these charts that show what lasts longest. And that's different than what has the best battery life. Because obviously a 3,000 milliamp hour battery should last a good chunk longer than something that's 2,200 or 2,300 milliamp hour battery.
4,100. Sometimes you can't beat sheer size.
So that's why the new Moto X won't last as long as an LG G3. But I don't expect it to, because it's got like 20% smaller capacity run as long.
I'm just going to stop you there and fill and answer the man's question. It's
okay. It's what?
It's the Z3. I mean, I've used pretty much every Android flagship that has been released this year, and nothing comes close to the Z3. It's like 6-7 hours of screen on time, you know, 19 to 20 hours use between charge, even with heavy use. It's pretty crazy.
But that's the Note 3, too. The Note 3 is current until we see the Note 4. Is that mainstream? Is that a flagship? Or are we still... At what point do we think the Note series is just a phone?
I think it is just a phone. I mean, when this is just a phone, this is bigger than... I think the Note is, at this point, just a phone.
But those are more than just a phone. Two of those could power the space shuttle.
There's the... They did a lot of good things with this giant phone, but the battery is phenomenal. I literally get 2 days every single charge out of it.
Yeah, I've played with the Mate 2, which is a little bit older, but the same thing. The battery just lasts forever and ever and ever.
And once you get, I mean, for me at least, once you get beyond a day, it needs to be 2 days. It's no good being, it'll last a day and a half.
Either a day or last the weekend, right.
Yeah. We should be looking at it in how many days it'll get us through, because if it's no good saying, oh, I cruise through the first day, but then by lunchtime I needed a charger. That's just the same as having really shoddy battery life and you're hunting for a charger at lunchtime. So
I always, as long as the phone will outlast my battery, because most of these phones now I need to recharge myself before I need to recharge the phone. So
what becomes the new standard? I mean, I still say there's absolutely nothing wrong with plugging your phone in overnight, and you should plug it in overnight because you can plug it in. Yep. Is that enough, or do we really need to look at 2 days being the just because we're lazy and don't want to plug our phones in overnight?
I mean, I think 2 days is a luxury at this point, and you have it is getting easier to do 2 day battery life, which is why you're seeing manufacturers being able to do it, right? At the same time, you could get a phone like the Z3, which has 2 day battery life. But what also gets two-day battery life is my G2 with a second battery. So that's another way of looking at it. If you just have a phone with a removable battery, then you have a pretty easy way of doubling your battery life. It's simple, but it's true.
But that keeps us stuck with old technology in removable battery.
Yeah.
We need to move forward.
No, I agree with you, but that's just another way of looking at it.
I think at this point, if you're looking at a spec sheet, when you get down like the Z3, I can't say Z, the world will explode, so I have to say Z3. When you get to that point, battery life, and it says 2 days, that's a big plus one for Sony right there, boom. Just because everybody can do it, that doesn't matter because not everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
Sony did it. They deserve big, huge props for that. We would like that to become the standard. All phones can last 2 days. I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon. So... to me, the Z3 being able to go 2 days on a charge, that's a big deciding factor in my purchase right there. I may be out of the house for 2 days. The sheriff may have my phone under his desk for 2 days. I want to make sure that it can last.
Who's next? Carl's asking, Zed. Yes, that's how a lot
that's
of
people said in English.
Say Z. Is it just because it sounds like C?
You guys just say everything differently. So.
All right, fine. I'm going to go down to the bottom. Actually, see, there's the answer for these questions in getting your question read. Make it a good question so people will plus one it and we'll see it because it floats to the top. That way it's not on me, I think. Any excitement for the Moto Hint? Yeah, I think so. I'm curious to try it.
Yeah.
Curious to see it. Jerry's probably going to get it before I do.
Yeah, I got one coming. Can't wait to fiddle with that thing and see what more it can do than just a regular Bluetooth.
Here's a good question about something that's been in the news. Doug asks, will a Note 4 have GapGate, or is it completely overblown? Will it be waterproofed like the GS5? It's not waterproofed like the GS5. It's not IP67. I had a limited amount of time with the Note 4, and that was mainly spent trying to, you know, do our basic hands-on type stuff as quickly as we could because I didn't have a whole lot of time. But I mean, It's not the sort of thing you look for. I don't go
sticking
into...
Sticking business cards in the side of a phone isn't really part of our regular hands-on coverage.
I don't... Exactly. I don't go into it thinking, all right, can I take something like this and stick it in something, you know? It's just not something you think of. But I don't remember seeing anything that stood out or looked weird. Richard and Alex, you guys have seen it.
Yes, same deal with the units we saw in Berlin. I mean, I'm reluctant to start setting our hair on fire over this before we actually have devices in hand. The things that people have reported are in the early units that are out in Korea. Samsung has said in their manual, look, there's this gap. It might get bigger because of friction or whatever, which is maybe slightly cause for concern. But at the same time, you know, you want to see more units get out there and get a better look at it before you start deciding immediately that it's a manufacturing flaw and it's, you know, the Samsung equivalent of Bendgate.
We had a lot of
gates these days.
Yeah, we had a lot of people saying, I can't believe Samsung used the word feature. It's a manufacturing feature. It is. Ask anybody who's any type of structural engineer, and they'll be more than happy to explain to you why glass and metal expand and contract at different temperatures and different rates. I know a little... There are two ways to do it. Pick up your Note 3. It's got a band around the side that goes up over the edge of the glass. If that band were metal, it would get bigger in heat faster than the glass will expand and get smaller in cold and do that faster than the glass will shrink. Therefore, you have to have a little bit of a tiny gap around there to allow for the expansion. The other way to do it is you pick up a new Moto X, and it's beveled and the glass is arched. As that glass expands, the middle lifts up. It just makes the arch a little bit bigger. One way is not better than the other. That's just two ways to do it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with having a small gap around the frame until it gets big enough for crap from your pocket to get stuck in it. Until I see crap from my pocket stuck in a Note 4, I just say, well, that gap is there because it has to be there. Next.
Because physics.
Yeah.
It's the same as Bendgate. Stuff happens.
Right.
Because that's just how the world is and the materials. And, you know, people have been clamoring for Samsung to do metal and, you know, take a step away from the plastic of old. So now they've done it. So let's at least give them a chance to get, you know, to get the thing sold first and then see how much of an issue it actually is.
And I do think there's this limited population of people who go into a new phone, and especially a new high-profile phone, trying to find something wrong with it.
Sure.
You know, that's not to say that there aren't issues. And see, I still don't even know what to call them, because sometimes things are just the way they are. It's just a side effect of what happened.
You get manufacturing issues. I mean,
and sometimes they're manufacturing issues.
I mean, the Mate 7 review unit that I got, the initial one that I got in Berlin after the event, was bent. The whole... You know, down the whole length of the phone, the whole thing was twisted. It was a manufacturing issue. It just, you know, stuff happens. I mean, they've swapped it out, but that's how it came off the production line. These things.
And we should say that was a pre-production.
Yeah, and I mean, there was a pre-production as well. But you know, it's a metal phone. So these things can happen. If it was made from plastic, I wouldn't have taken it out of the box, and it wouldn't have been, you know, kind of twisted in that way, because plastic wouldn't have done that.
Anything that's been manufactured ever has, you know, disparity in the process. Every M7 I had was different. Every single one. And I think a couple of the M8s were different as well. Mm. So the question is, what level of tolerance is acceptable to the company that's manufacturing and to the company that's paying to have it manufactured?
And a lot of this is our fault. I mean, we demand lighter, thinner, bigger. And the 6 Plus is a great example. If you look at the teardowns, there's room where another piece of reinforcing structure could be placed inside. It's not there. It's not there because it would make the phone heavier, it would make the phone a little bit thicker, and consumers would say, well, why is this phone so thick and this phone so heavy? So, you know, we're getting what we ask for, and a side result of that are even more defects because of the tight tolerances needed.
Nokia 3310. Let's just go back to that. Best phone ever.
Try to bend it, your thumbs break.
Yep.
All right, I'm hopping in my email here because I promised I would. Patrick wants to know, how does the scanning of LTE bands work with Moto X possibly adding in the extra bands to the Pure Edition if you haven't seen one of Motorola's forum managers said we should be getting, I think it's 3 extra bands added, and it's weird that they're not in there, and I'm still waiting on Motorola to definitely say, here are the bands that the AT&T model uses, here are the ones that the Pure Edition uses, because they do not match up to what we were originally told. But is this going to cause the phone to use more power while it's scanning the bands? Does it scan until it finds the strongest one and stop, or does it constantly scan no matter what? It's a good question. Is it like Wi-Fi where it's just constantly looking around?
No. It's that's all done. The radio firmware tells it how and where to look for towers. I don't know how adjustable that is. To the user, it's not adjustable at all.
It shouldn't be.
No. And it's got to be able to switch if it needs to switch, but it also has to know, I don't need to switch, so I don't need to scan. If you're locked onto a good signal, there's no need for it to be scanning for other signals unless the phone company themselves want you to hop between towers to free up spots for other people on other towers. But all that's handled remotely through the phone firmware, I guess is a good way to say it.
Yeah, the only time I've ever seen something like that be user-facing is in one of the Korean G3s I was using, where there was a hidden menu where you could actually go in and set band priorities and actually disable certain bands. But yeah, most of the time that is just completely opaque. That's between the phone manufacturer and the carrier to get that stuff tweaked and sorted out.
If you think Verizon or AT&T are ever going to let you decide which bands you can use on your phone, I got a bridge I want to sell you.
And again, that's sort of the last thing I want to worry about when I'm using a phone. Just let me use it. Sergio asks, I was wondering if you guys knew what was going on with the AT&T release of the Moto X. We are talking about the Moto X, right? I think so. Yes. While the phone is available in every store, in my city at least, it doesn't have the 32 gigabyte option. Yeah, that's something we've seen from the U.S. carriers over and over again. You know, so few of them go for the larger storage options. I still think 32 gigabytes should be the minimum now.
Was it Sergio?
Mm-hmm.
Sergio, I want to just do yourself a favor and tell yourself, I'm not going to be able to have this phone for another month because I'm going to save and save, and then I'm just going to buy the damn thing outright and not put up with AT&T's crap anymore. I know it's a lot of money, but once you do it, you're going to be so glad you did.
And always, always try to buy a little more storage than you think you need to. You will always need more.
It's not even just the U.S. carriers. Ours pretty much the same. You know, you only get generally get the smaller sizes advertised. And
I bought the 16, even though I know I only need 4.
Dominic asks, I have a question about the Moto 360. I know you guys use multiple phones a day and sometimes a week. When I switch from my Note 3 to my Note 4, is there any way to do so without wiping my Moto 360 in order to pair it with a new device?
Buy a second Moto 360.
I haven't tried in a little while, but I didn't find a good way to do it. But no. I mean, the good news is it resets really quickly and easily.
You're not supposed to have to do that.
Yeah.
When they demoed the Gear Live for me at I/O, they told me you could just switch phones on the fly through the Android Wear manager. And there's a spot in there where you can look for a new one, but it doesn't work. In reality, it doesn't. And if you don't reset it, it's going to be a mess. And I wish it wasn't that way.
I mean, it's not a huge deal, but I agree. It's there. It looks like it's supposed to do it, but it's just not. Hopefully they'll fix that. We'll see.
Android L. Yeah. Android L is going to fix everything.
Keep saying that.
You heard it here first.
I have a feeling there's a lot of this watch stuff that's going to change and improve.
Oh, I was thinking they're going to clean the oil spots up out of my driveway and that kind of thing. But
stop it. Let's see if I got anything else in the email. Thanks for letting me know you're bearing down on the soft porn music at the end of your podcast. I'll know when to skip. Well, you're welcome, David. Seriously, the music's the hardest part of finding these podcasts. It took a long time. I'm not changing it.
I love that music. I want it as a soundtrack to my life to follow me everywhere I go.
The links are in there. You can listen to it whenever you want. Whenever you want.
Jerry's all next hands-on video, just that music.
Anything else in the Q&A you guys want to get to, or should we call it a day?
Somebody wants to know if they can use the LG Tone and the G-Watch at the same time.
I believe so. Yes. Yes, you can.
Why not?
Yes, I have absolutely done that.
That was That was Brandon, by the way. I just scanned and now I had to find it again.
I'm trying to think if I had... I might need to check. I don't think I had, when I was running, that I had the Tone and Talk. It depends on what phone I was using. Because I know I had it on the G3 and I used it. And I tell you, I'm out... I think I was mowing the lawn listening to This American Life, listening to the podcast, and then I started getting, like, Hangouts notifications from these guys, and then it reads out URLs to you, which is really bad. Or I know I was listening to it one day, and I started getting Facebook notifications. You know, here, your mom has liked this picture. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, I want to listen to my podcast, please. So bear that in mind while you use it.
And real quick, I know we're running late.
Yeah.
Thomas asks in the Q&A, do you think there are possible antitrust issues with Google forcing OEMs to have a search bar and folder of Google apps on home screens? Yes. I think that area Google is diving into is something they may regret in the future, and mostly because now they also offer these OEMs a cut of search revenue in exchange for doing this. That's just not going to fly. I guarantee lawyers at Microsoft saw that, yep, and they started thinking. That's just a slippery slope.
If we can think of it, they sure can.
Yep. And you know, they've got 80% market share of the smartphone scape worldwide. That's monopoly territory. That's you're getting there. And I don't know. I wouldn't do it. If it was my company, I would have not done that out of fear.
I would do it. It makes sense. I would do it now and have to change it later. Then, you know.
Do it now, pay the EU $100 million or so later.
Yeah.
So is Europe.
From a business standpoint, yes, in a heartbeat. From what's right, yeah. I'm not putting Bing on my phone anytime soon, though.
Well, and that's the thing. How many people would put Bing on their phone if they knew they could? I don't think that's a whole lot of people. So.
And you know what? On some phones, like I think it's the Galaxy S5, I installed it once to take a picture for, you know, a news post. And I don't know how, but it replaced Google Now. Like, you know, when you hold down the home button to go to Google Now,
it
went to Bing. And I was like, this is horrible. Get it off my phone.
Was it Bing Now? And there was like a really a mean old man's voice. What do you want, Richard?
I think it was. I think I saw somebody that looked like Bulma just ran across the screen and took my search with it.
The Bing app is still like not horrible.
It's not a bad app, but I have no idea how it managed to suddenly become my Google Now.
I'm sorry, Bing and Yahoo make better looking Android apps than Google does. Period.
Mm-hmm. Certainly more consistent.
Amazing.
I was trying to remember if there was any sort of search. I swear I have a phone that gives you options now, and I just don't remember which one it is. I wonder. I don't know. I'll look for it this weekend. Anything else, or should we stick a fork in it? I believe we were sticking a fork in it.
Play the music.
Vance likes my glasses. Thanks, Vance.
By the time you kids at home are listening to this, the music is already playing. So be sure to email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. See, now when you guys start humming it, you're going to screw with everybody. You can get us all on Google+ and Twitter and Instagram. Just search our names. That is the easiest way to do it. Look for us live from New York next week. I will be there. I'm trying to remember what else we got going on. Head into the forums. All sorts of cool stuff coming there. And that's it, I think. See y'all next Friday. We should be doing things live. I should be back. So we'll see you then. Bye.
See you later.
Toodles.
Later on.